I'm Jason Solomons. Welcome to Sounds Jewish from The Guardian. In this month's podcast, are British Jews ending their love affair with New Labour and returning to the Tories? And
when did Yiddish enter the vernacular? When did non-Jews start strewing their sentences with words born in the shtetls they have never seen?
The non-Jews who mispronounce Yiddish. And are Jewish parents too overprotective?
Oh, my precious. Oh, I love you so much. I haven't seen my boo-boo in months.
Honey, you feel thin.
No.
You're not eating.
So it's politics, parenting and plutzing. It sounds Jewish from The Guardian.
Shalom, shalom.
And joining me in the studio this month to be on our illustrious Sounds Jewish panel are comedian Josh Howie and academic and writer Morris Glasman. Josh, mazel tov to you. You've just had a baby boy. Is that right?
That is right indeed. Thank you.
What's his name?
Mordechai.
Say hello to him for the first time live
on
the air.
Hey, Mordi. I'm not giving him any chance. He's a Jew. He gets the most Jewish name I've found.
Is he gorgeous?
He's absolutely gorgeous. He is the best-looking Jew since Natalie Portman.
Have you had the bris yet? You're doing the
No,
bris?
We're saving it. We got that in about a week's time.
Well, yeah, it's a traumatic day, but we wish you the best of luck with that. Apart from changing nappies, which is always a joyous experience of green gunk, you've got a comedy with a cause coming up as well, haven't you?
I've always got comedy with a cause. Every time I get these calls, you know, we got some Jew thing going on. Can you come down and give us some, you know, do it for free? Yeah, right. Here we go. I don't know what it's for. The other day I did one for Israeli and Palestinian kids. But I went on and I said, look, I just want to make sure that 50% of this money is going to the Israeli kids because, you know, they need some Xboxes and Wii's and whatnot. So, anyway, I give my time very well.
But I think you're doing one at the Comedy Store, which is for our sponsors as well, the JCC.
JCC in the house.
In the house. Well done. Josh Howie, you're a new father. He's still got the energy to come on Sounds Jewish. We thank you. Morris Glasman, you're the director of the Faith and Citizenship Programme at London Metropolitan University and the architect of Blue Labour. First of all, where's London Metropolitan?
It's in the East End. Just
where
up Pitchcote Lane.
Lovely. In the homeland. Isn't it on Holloway Road as well? Isn't that London Metropolitan?
Yeah, we don't talk about them.
That's got the lovely Libeskind building.
It's the other shore.
Jewish architects. The other shore, no one goes there. And Blue Labour, what's that about?
Well, it's sort of Jewish Labour bringing back conservative values to socialism, self-organisation, family life, faith.
And you're the architect of it. It was your document.
Well, I made it up,
You made it up, right, exactly. Well, you can proselytise about it on here, and maybe we get some converts, because I think Labour might want to take some advice from your manifesto, as I think it's fair to say they were well and truly trounced in the recent European elections. A disastrous, not unexpected result for Gordon Brown. But what part, I wonder, did Britain's Jews play in those results and in voting patterns generally around the UK? Which parties got Jewish support? Sounds Jewish did its own straw poll in the iconic seat of Finchley and Golders Green. Once held, of course, by Margaret Thatcher herself, it switched to Labour in 1997. But now it's a closely fought marginal. So how are the Jews in that battleground seat leaning these days?
I voted Conservative, and to be honest, the main reason was because of the BNP, was to stop them from getting any seats in the European elections. My choice to switch from Labour to Conservative wasn't actually really Jewishly motivated. I mean, I lost a lot of trust after Tony Blair was in power, and I think a lot of it, unfortunately, has transferred over to Gordon Brown.
Labour, when they first set out in the predominantly Jewish areas to capitalise on the Jewish vote, came out with a lot of promises and a lot of ideas and a lot of inspiration to secure the Jewish vote. They went around and they met with the religious leaders, and we're going to give this money, we're going to give that money. In my opinion, they've used the Jewish public's opinion of them.
I always have voted Conservative, and now even more because, unfortunately, they are gutless and ballless. They can't even say sorry.
Joining me now, and of course my guest Morris Glasman and Josh Howie in the studio, is Stuart Pollock, a Conservative Party activist and director of the group Conservative Friends of Israel. Stuart, many thanks for joining us on Sounds Jewish. We heard there from those people in Maggie's old seat. It is indeed a long walk to Finchley. Is it a strong indicator, do you think, of Anglo-Jewry's voting habits at large? Where are Anglo-Jews politically at the moment?
I think, first of all, to say that Finchley and Golders Green, if I'm not mistaken, is the number one target seat for the Conservatives at the next general election. So if they don't win that seat, They won't be forming a
government. So that's basically the bellwether
vein. This is number one. So in terms of majority and so on and so forth.
On this show, we've concentrated lots on Israeli politics, lots on American politics, mm-hmm. on what floats Jewish votes in the US and in Israel. But what gets Jewish voters here in the UK? What issues turn them from blue to red or red to blue?
Oh, I think it's just the general. I don't think majority of Jews will think, you know, are they good for us? Unless they're unsure where they're going to vote. At that point, they'll say, well, hang on, has he done well for us? Or is he somebody that will understand our issues? Has he been to Israel? Has he stood there? What did he say when Shechita, for instance, was being mentioned in Parliament or elsewhere?
What's Shechita?
Shechita is the religious slaughter of animals to make them kosher.
So the kashrus law, so things that yeah. directly impact on the day-to-day yeah. lives of Jews. But is Israel one of those issues and Britain's stance towards
Israel?
Oh,
I think Israel is an issue for people on the Jewish community on the doorstep, absolutely.
Maurice Glassman, if I can bring you in here, we'll just talk about the history of Jewish voting in this country. I think the historic connection has always been with the Labour Party. From the early working-class Jewish immigrants who settled in London's East End, there was always an affinity from Toynbee Hall onwards to the Labour movement.
Yeah, it's been a tremendous affinity. I mean, also Jews, the poor Jews from Eastern Europe had really imbued a lot of socialism over there. So there's a big socialist story going on with the Jewish community. There was also very strong communist support among Jews. I mean, Phil Paratin was voted overwhelmingly by Jewish voters as the communist MP. But Labour was a very conservative working class party.
What issues were going to change those kind of bedrock votes? I mean, I'm thinking of the Oswald Mosley events yeah. in the East End, the riots at Cable Street. How did that politically go down in the UK? Were the Conservatives seen as an anti-Semitic party?
The Conservatives were the party of appeasement above all. Neville Chamberlain, and the Conservative Party did flirt very strongly with anti-Semitism. So Jews were very strongly Labour, but the big party that actually fought against the fascists were the Communist Party, and we don't talk about it much anymore, but that had strong Jewish support too.
So was the first time that the Anglo-Jews came out in favour of a Conservative majority, was that due to Maggie Thatcher and her part in being, I suppose, from the mercantile classes, the grocer's daughters herself, working in Golders Green officially?
She talked about family, she talked about self-reliance. She talked about responsibility, and all of those are absolutely core Jewish values.
So tell me about Blue Labour that you've kind of drawn up. How's that going to... Who's it supposed to appeal to, the Blues or the Reds?
Well, it's above all supposed to engage... It comes out of Jewish values, very strong on the integrity of family life, very strong on limiting the power of money in community, and very strong on reciprocity, mutuality and solidarity. So the Jews in the East End, they buried each other, they had their workers' circles, they educated each other. It's about returning to an idea that we actually look after each other and we can't rely on the state to do that.
If I can just go back a second. In the Thatcher period, there's no question the Jewish community voted towards and supported her. And I would argue, actually, it's not necessarily due to what she was saying at the time, but it was the move of the Jewish community who'd come from those East End and come from the socialist background that was referred to, but moved into sort of the middle classes. What I think is that the Jewish community, even to today, it's a litmus test, if you like, for the middle class. It's where the middle class is in general. And the middle classes went with Thatcher for all the reasons that we know. They then went with Blair in 97 mm-hmm. for all sorts of reasons. And it appears that they are returning back to the Conservatives at the moment.
Maurice, you were going to say something.
Yeah, just to say that New Labour, in terms of its strategic thinking, targeted the Jewish community as its most important swing community and made enormous efforts, appeared at the JIA, supported Jewish schools. Tony Blair and Gordon Brown have both absolutely made a pitch for Jewish vote.
And who are the JIA in this?
The JIA are a Jewish charitable organisation.
So what I'm wondering, is there something in the Jewish philosophy, in the Jewish religion, in the Jewish culture that is ultimately political, that can be appealed to by political parties? Is there something that unites Jews as voters?
Well, I think the self-help thing that you talked of, I mean, the Jewish community forever has been a self-help community. Whether we talk of the Jewish charities that we all know, have always looked after each other. And that was something that was very much epitomised by Thatcher. And then Blair did it. Now, you see, Blair and Brown, I would argue, did this in spite of their party. In spite of the bulk of their party, they became very supportive of Israel and very supportive of the Jewish community. And yes, they did go to certain events.
Come on, Thatcher's philosophy was definitely that you look after yourself. I mean, so there was space within the Jewish community for New Labour to say, but it's also about helping others. I mean, that was a big limit
Thatcher. What she was trying to do and what she did successfully, I would argue, is that she wanted people to get on.
Yeah.
And so the council houses, for instance, being able to buy your own, to be proud, to be able to do things for yourself, and that's something which was enabled from, and then followed on by Brown and Blair in that area.
But they also have, you know, poor people also have somewhere to live. So I think New Labour definitely tuned into, it wasn't a purely cynical exercise, it tuned into the limit of Thatcherism, which was individualism, consumerism, and try to talk about a common good.
I think I asked you earlier, Stuart, if you want to be a friend of Israel, who do you support in this country?
Well, you only have to look at where we're at today. You know, probably 80% of Conservative members of Parliament are affiliated or involved with Conservative Friends of Israel. You see, they see Israel as a bulwark, as the coal face against a lot of activity around, which is, and they do support. I mean, David Cameron, 2 years ago, I remember him saying that being a supporter of Israel is in the DNA of a conservative. He said that publicly. Yeah. And I think generally today that's where it is. It is easier, no doubt, for me, running Conservative Friends of Israel, to get people to stand up and understand Israel than it is on the Labour side.
But Maurice, Blair, who is a friend of Israel, is now the Middle East envoy, but had committed to very much kind of a two-state solution to the Middle East and has allied himself to the US in that. But British Jews, I think, are still suspect of Labour on that issue, aren't they? But one thinks of Ken Livingstone, who was mayor of London and really did not do himself any favours in the anti-Semitic stakes.
Yeah, I mean, there's two issues. That's certainly the case with Ken. The first is that the Labour Party was instrumental in supporting Israel, the vote at the UN. The Labour Party, the Conservatives were much more hostile at the time, and so I know they say they found the Jewish gene, Levi's, but in terms of the DNA of the Conservatives, I would say that the whole Israel thing is actually much closer to the heartlands of Labour. And Howard Wilson was also an extremely strong supporter in a way that you could never say was the case with Alec Douglas Hume or Macmillan.
Or Winston Churchill. can pick out individuals, but I don't think that's helpful. And to go back into history is not helpful.
In terms of now, in terms of Blair and Brown, they've been extremely strong and consistently strong. But what there is a real rage going on in the left about Israel, which they're blocking off. So in terms of the leadership, Jews have been faithfully served. But in terms of what's going on at universities, in terms of what's going on in the Labour Party, there is a very great hostility to Israel. And the question is it best for Jews to get involved with that, debate that, deal with that? I mean, that's a very important argument, and I would say it's best not to walk away.
Maurice Glasman, Josh Howie, you stay with us. We'll be talking to you later in the show. Stuart Pollock, Director of Conservative Friends for Israel, thank you very much for joining us on Sounds Jewish
this
month.
Thank you for having me.